seventh chapter. Romans 7, where do you find that? Say, 7:14. Seventh chapter, I'll begin at the 14th verse. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Again, Lord, as we come to you, just asking, Father, that you send the message, Lord, that we need. We ask you, Father, that the Holy Spirit might just fall upon each and every one of us and make us aware, of God, of just exactly where we stand. We ask you, Father, to touch us each and every one. But Lord, let us hear what the Spirit does say. We ask you, Father, to take your messenger now. Use him, O God, but you send the message. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. And amen. That is a scripture and a half. That one is a little hard maybe to understand. But what he was talking about here is the war that goes on within us. Every one of us. It doesn't make any difference who we are, where we stand, or what we're doing. There is a war going on of good and evil. Physically, this old body, the way we're made, carnal, fleshly, lustly, all the things you can think of, we just love to please this body. We love to do all kinds of things that we shouldn't do. Well, what are they? You can just sit there and think of 100,000 things that we like to do that's not good for us. Whether it's eating the wrong thing or eating too much or whatever it might be, drinking or smoking or all these vices that we have and today, drugs and it's all of this. But these are all things that are contrary to God. Yes. Well, you look at me and you say, well, hey, we can eat or we can do this, and that's not a sin. Well, it isn't a sin until it becomes something that would hinder us, our body, that would work on us. Yes, it is not. You then hear folks, people say, well, it doesn't hurt you to take a drink. Well, that may be true. And it's not a sin until it becomes an offense to you and to somebody else that might see you. But it's always a war. It's always contrary. You go out and every day that you hit the road or after get up, you go out there and you make decisions. There are things that just come on you, and you have to weigh the things, but normally we have a tendency to go along with the things we like.
Yes.
We have a tendency to do what we want to do. And it may not necessarily be what God wants us to do. Paul, as he was writing there, he said, the thing that I knew, I would not. And the thing that I would not, that's what I do. You see, Paul had the same problem. He knew what it was to walk through this world and have to do the things that affected him. And I was thinking as you go about, your daily works, and you kind of hit snags here and there, and you get upset, and you argue with people, and you fuss, and you do things like that. But deep down within your heart, that is not what you would like to do. Within you, you do not want to sin. A Christian does not want to displease God. Period. We don't want to. How many times do we do it anyhow? How many times do we go ahead and in a spur of the moment say or do something or spout off or do something that we shouldn't, and immediately God tells us, whoa, what'd you do?
Yeah.
Then we have to repent. And we have to say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for jumping all over that person or just chewing them out just about right. But do we have the courage to say to that person, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I said. I shouldn't have said that. You know, it's amazing how God will stop you and how he will correct you. And I don't quarrel with that, but I was talking to somebody one time and they kind of got under my skin and I got mad and I said a few things to them. And immediately, God spoke to me and he said, whoa, you shouldn't have said that. And I turned right around and looked that man right in the eyes and I said, I'm sorry. I should not have said that. That was wrong of me. Forgive me. Immediately. You see, that's what Paul's talking about. When he said those things that I would do, I do not. We in the church, as we do our different things in the church, I'm sure that God has spoken to some of us and said, well, maybe you need to sing a solo this morning. Maybe you need to sing a solo this morning. And the first thing we would say is, oh, no, I can't do that. Praise God. For the courage to stand up and to say, beautiful, praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Spirit is in it. When God's Spirit is in us, I don't care what you're doing, it's going to be good. It's going to bless everybody. It is. It doesn't make it. If we try to do it on our own, if we try to get perfect, get just everything has to be just so, then you're going to fail. But when you give it to God, and he is in it, things are going to happen. Folks, it's that way out on the streets. It's that way every place you go, just as Tom was talking about the young man. Yes, he was nuts. I'll guarantee you that he felt the power. Because you don't enter into a sanctuary of God that you don't know you're there. You know where you're at. Yet, this is just a building. It truly is, but it is dedicated to the Almighty God. When you walk through the door, you know you're in a church. Yes, you do. Yes, God has called every one of us that's sitting here this morning. He's asked us to do something. And the first thing we want to do is say, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. He didn't make a mistake when he asked you. He knows what we can do. He knows it. But he knows also the blessing that's coming from it. Did you ever think that time when you failed to answer what God would have you to do, that some soul might have been lost because you didn't do it? His blood is upon your hands.
Ooh! That's serious business. Wow! Whew! That makes you shudder to think that you may be the cause of somebody being lost.
Ooh! Man, I hate to face my judgment. And he goes out through the book and he said, ooh, right here. I asked you to do something. You refused. Door that. No, I'd rather for him to go down through that book and say, you know that time when you were walking through this door and that person was down in spirit, was kind of feeling low, and you recognized it right off, and you had the courage to walk up to them with the speaker and say, hi, how are you? With a smile on your face and say, God loves you. Yes, I'd much rather see that written on the pages of my book than failure. How many times has God spoke to each of us individually and asked us to do some small thing, didn't amount to much, but we said, no, I can't do that, I can't sing, I can't pray, I can't stand up before the congregation and say anything, I couldn't offer a prayer in public, I couldn't do that. No, I can't do that. God don't know what he's talking about when he asked me to do something like that. Making God a liar. Making God not knowing. What is that? Yes, we fail. Paul, in his letter, he used words there that kind of repeated itself to me, but he went on and said, I do that which I would not. I consent to the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Is there sin dwelling in us? Evil dwelling in us? Absolutely. In the flesh, we are still under the power of the flesh. We have the lust, we have the desire, we have all of this and that we ever did have. But we have the Almighty Jesus Christ to override those things that would set us down. We have that power in Jesus Christ. He went on and on and on. I find in the law that I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my member, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my member. Yep. Yes, it takes a constant battle. Every minute of our life, probably even when we're sleeping, that we have to war against Satan trying his best to take us, to get us to do things, to say things that is contrary to God's word, that he would not have us to do. But it's that wee small voice that stops you. Yes. It's that wee small voice that says, that ain't what God wants you to do. Yes. He says, and we should have the courage to recognize exactly what it is. That it's that old self, that old nature, trying to root out the love of God that's in our heart. Yes. In that 25th verse, he says, verse 24, I read it to you twice this morning, because it's important. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death.
Who?
Who shall deliver me from this?
Who can take it away?
None other than Jesus Christ. He is the only one. You can battle, and people will tell you, you know, they'll say, well, I'm going to start going to church when I get things straightened out. When I get my life straightened out, then I'm going to start going to church, and I'm going to be better. That day is not going to come. We cannot straighten ourselves out. We cannot. The only the way that we can get our lives straightened out is to turn it over to the man that can straighten it out. Yes. If we would just submit completely to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about going around here or there or everywhere, jumping up on a soapbox and starting to preach and hollering at people, hollering this, that, and the other thing. You need this, you need that, and all that. You've heard that. The people that like to put the Bible in their hand and start down the street, and you know what's coming. Well, that's not what this world needs today. It's not somebody standing on a soapbox or organizing a march or what have you, or one Washington, D.C., or assembling together with a great congregation and making out like a, well, I don't know what, but it's not that that counts. It's that that's in your heart. Being able, you know, I truly believe, I may be wrong, but I truly believe that one person on his knees with an attitude completely given to God, in complete control of God, calling upon the name of Jesus, I believe that he can do more good than all that marching that's going on out there. Yes. Marching and all this is done for show. Hey, look at me. We're Christians. Yeah. We're really up there. Yes. We want to get you saved. We want to do this. You're doing wrong out there. When they should be on their knees. Someplace in a quiet place. Out there all alone, maybe. Saying, Lord, that situation needs change. Would you do it? Paul, as he was talking here, he made it very clear. He says, there's a war going on in our members. That which is of self. You know, I wrote down three things. And it pertains to, and I believe Paul was talking about this when he wrote these words. I believe he was talking about the works that we do. That we, our everyday life, as we, you know, as we go along, and we get involved in so many different things and so different ways and here, there, and everywhere. And we never know just exactly when opportunity is going to come for us to make an impression on somebody or for us to help somebody or what have you. And I wrote down these three things about the works. We can go three ways with our works. We can do His work. We can do the work of God. When we listen to that inward part of us that God owns, He should own, and it comes out and we can present the gospel in so many different ways. We don't have to get the King James Version out and reading scripture. That they don't need. Maybe all they need at that time is just a friend. Just someone that is concerned. Maybe even less than that. Maybe it's even just that smile as you walk by. And those people that you can see walking as you go in and out of places, you can see that they don't feel good. Maybe you just need to smile and say, "Hi, how you doing?" Maybe that's just exactly what they need. All a part of the work of God. Being a friend is so important. But then, the second part, the work is my work. My work. Yes, every day for me. Hey, look at me. Hey, I want this, I want that, I need this, I need that, it's today. Everything is concentrated about me. I want. That's the world today. Gimme, gimme, gimme. What can I get? We go to church. What can I get when I go to church? It's not a question of what I can get, it's what I can give.
Amen.
Yeah. What I can do. What I can do. Again. But we center on ourselves. What we can do. There is even people that use the church as a means of making money. Yeah. Oh, yes. The big prominent people of the city or whatever, they sure will be seen in church on Sunday because it's good for business.
Yeah.
It's good for business. Me, I, my work, everything focused on me, my desire, what I want, that's me. Yeah. Then there's that third work, Satan's work. Wow. We can actually promote Satanism. We can actually build on his kingdom by the evil deeds that we would do. As I said in Sunday school this morning, I hate that person. Hate. Yes, hate is a bad word. Not the way it was mentioned in the scriptures this morning. No. But that hate, the things that we do, we can steal, we can lie, we can cheat, we can do everything. Yes, that person in the store out there over gave me back more money than I deserved. More in change than was right. I see it right away. Yeah. She missed that by $5. What? Good for me! Yes. We have an opportunity right then and there. Say, "Well, honey, you overpaid me. You gave me too much." You see, we reverse Satan's work into his work. Yes, we can do that. Satan's work is so much. You could go out there and you could see it all around and about. You see all these people out there trying to make money out of drugs and all this, that, and that. Preying on people. Yes, we can do that. Satan, we have a choice in everything that we do. We can do Satan's work. We can do my work, promote it for myself. Or we can forget about self and say, "Lord, I'm at your service. Use me as you would see fit." Oh my goodness, what would happen if we would get up in the morning and before we even got out of bed say, "Lord, use me this day in some way to help somebody." If we would have that attitude the whole day and be able to smile at people and say, "Well, God bless you. Yes, the Lord loves you, regardless." Yes, just like I said to that old boy there in the hospital yesterday, Friday, I said, "This is fun." He said, "Well, I never heard of that before." Yes, we can turn a thing of misery into something good of God if we will just do it. But you know, there's that war. That war that's within us, that when I would do good, I would not. When those things that I would not That I do.
Have you ever, even this person, have you ever been in a position where maybe you could have taken advantage of a situation and you had to make a decision quickly in your mind? Will I take the advantage that it would give me, or will I take this thing and bless them? You see, that's a decision that's made like that. We can do it. But if we're thinking, forgetting about self, putting self out of the way, and thinking about serving God in service for Him, then there's no question. It's always given to them. It always is. Folks, that war you're fighting every day within us. Yes, it is. It's still there. When God saves us, He gives us power to overcome Satan. But that old devil is still right there, agitating and aggravating. We have the power to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of here. Don't bother me. We have that power. We never had it before. But when we accept Jesus Christ, we have a power. Yes. That even old Satan himself cannot resist. Because God's power is so much greater than anything Satan can throw at us. Yes. That war, you're going to hit it. You're going to hit it all the way here finally. But we're kind of isolated. We've cast him out of here and then that little world coming out again. We're all friends here. We have a love for each other. But when you go out of this church, it's going to hit you just like that. Decision is going to be made. Just remember one thing. I am in service for Jesus Christ. I want to do that which is right. That I would do, I do not. That I would not, that's what I do. Who can save me, this wretched man? I thank God that Jesus Christ can. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We just ask God that you look upon us, O Father. Help us, O Father, to defeat old Satan when he arises. Cast him out of God when those things come upon us, so that we would gain for ourselves, O Lord, would not be pleasing to you. We ask you, God, to control us, to use us, and Lord, each and every one of us. We ask you, O Lord, just to be with us, Lord, that we might be able to cheer somebody, to give them a glimpse of your glory through that deed that we might be able to do to help them. Whether it be just a smile, a friendly word, a comforting spirit, whatever it is, Lord, help us. Give us the power of the Holy Ghost. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask you.